Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Tonight, we continue on our journey through the core 52 verses identified by author Mark Moore to help us cultivate a biblical worldview. That's become important even in the last days as our region has faced storm damage and has seen God move in amazing ways in the midst of very difficult circumstances. But cultivating a biblical worldview helps us navigate these moments when they come. And tonight's passage that is our theme for tonight's message is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And it is a passage about God's Word. And one of the things we've seen in the last days is that God's Word has become so vitally important. It always has been vitally important, but to us, it has become vitally important. For through God's Word, we hear from our God. So the title of the message tonight is God's Word, and the core 52 verses that we're going to look at are 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. They will be the theme for our message tonight. Here they are. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let me read those to us one more time. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, the one that he called his son in the faith. Now, didn't have a biological connection, but Paul was a spiritual father and mentor to Timothy. And this is his last letter to Timothy, and he's giving him some very important concepts in this short letter that he writes to Timothy. And this is perhaps the most important concept that he is leaving with him. He is telling him that God's Word is really God's Word. So our first point tonight is this: the Bible is God's Word. He begins verse 16 by saying, all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is inspired. All Scripture is breathed out by God. And that's the fundamental understanding of the Bible, that these are truly the words of God, that God worked through human authors who were carried along by the Holy Spirit and inspired them to communicate through their unique giftings, talents, and abilities, and their unique voice, inspired them to communicate God's Word to us so that we might be encouraged in hope. And in fact, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Paul wrote to the church at Rome, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." And so what's he saying? He's saying all the things that God's people have been through before that are recorded in His Word are God's instruction to us so that we might not only know how to navigate the days in front of us, but that we might be encouraged with hope as we do so. So the Bible is God's Word. Peter spoke to this. Remember, Peter was an eyewitness to the ministry of Christ. Nobody could see the ministry of Christ more intimately or more clearly than Peter. And this is what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. Listen to this. He says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, 'This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Now, you may notice that last little line, that they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You hear me say that a lot, because that's how God produced the Bible. He used human beings carried along by the Holy Spirit in their voice, in their words. If you go back and study the original languages, you can see the nuances of each individual, but God carried them along such that what we have communicated through those human beings is the inspired and inerrant Word of God. The way the Baptists put it in the Baptist Faith and Message is, I think, very well written. The Holy Bible was written by men divinely inspired and is God's revelation of Himself to man. It is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. Therefore, all Scripture is totally true and trustworthy. It reveals the principles by which God judges us, and therefore is, and will remain until the end of the world, the true center of Christian union, and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and religious opinion should be tried. All Scripture is a testimony to Christ, who is Himself the focus of divine revelation. And so what's interesting, if you come to church at First Baptist Church, one of the things you're going to notice is the podium, the pulpit, is in the middle. And some churches do it differently, but one of the reasons that we Baptists put the podium or the pulpit in the middle is because the authority in the room, in the presence of God, is the Word of God. And one of the lessons that I learned early, and I shared this story in a prayer meeting not long ago, but I was in preaching class in seminary, and I had my Bible open and had preached the message and then closed my Bible and did my conclusion, and then that was it. And some of the feedback that the professor rightly gave me, he said, "Jeff, I noticed when you got done with the textual portion of the message that you closed your Bible and then you kept on talking." And he said, "Was God done speaking when you closed your Bible? Because remember, you're not the authority in the room. The preacher is not the authority in the room. The teacher is not the authority in the room. The speaker is not the authority in the room. God is the authority, and He has given us His Word." So one of the things I will always say, Lord willing, as long as I have my mental capacities about me, is this: don't ever take what I say as gospel truth. No, check it against the Bible. And if the Bible and I disagree, I'm wrong. In fact, somebody asked me one time in my capacity as pastor of First Baptist Church, "What do you think about such and such issue?" And my response is this: you didn't call me to tell you what I think. Of course I have opinions. I have a lot of them. Just ask my wife. But that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to communicate what I think about every issue. I'm here to communicate what God says about every issue, because that's the authority. The Bible is the Word of God, and so we return to the Word of God because it is divinely inspired. It is God-breathed, and so it is the judge of our intentions, and it is the standard against which we hold every opinion, every thought, every behavior. We take it to God's Word. The second thing that these verses communicate, and our second point tonight, is this: the Bible shapes us. The Bible shapes us. Not only is it God-breathed, not only is it inspired by God, but it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Well, those are all very important things, and they're all different things. We get instruction from the Word of God, but we also, if we read it rightly, we will be offended by the Word of God. I have to tell you, if you are reading the Bible and it's not offending you to some degree and in some way, go back and reread it, because you missed something. Because here's the thing: we're sinful human beings. We have flesh that wants to please itself. And I'm going to tell you, every day when I'm doing our reading plan and I'm reading God's Word, there's something that rubs me the wrong way. And I can't remember who the historical figure was, somebody who was leading in wartime, and they came to this leader and said, you're rubbing the cat the wrong way. You're petting the cat backwards. The fur is going in the wrong direction. And his response was, "Well, then turn the cat around." Well, sometimes the Bible rubs us the wrong way. And it's not that we need to turn the Bible around. No, God through His Word turns us around. That's repentance. He changes our mind to show us that what we previously thought wasn't sin was sin, and to show us how we might better trust and follow Jesus in every moment. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." Another way that a different translation of Scripture translates this passage is where there is no revelation of the law, where there is no revelation of God's Word, people cast off restraint. But now when we have God's Word given to us, then it helps us understand who God is and what God expects of us. So it is useful for teaching, but it's also useful for reproof, for correcting us and getting us on the right path. In Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, the psalmist says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." And then just a few verses later, again in Psalm 119, we get that other passage that's part of our VBS pledge to the Bible that we say, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's Word is given to illuminate our way and to help us know where to go, to guide us and to guard us. Remember, God said to Joshua as he was going to lead God's people across the Jordan and into the Promised Land, he said, "This book of the law shall not depart from you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left." No, you stay focused and you stay on the path that I will lead you through my word. And Jesus said, honestly, he was being tested by some of the religious leaders during his ministry. And in Matthew 22, verse 29, he said to them, "You are wrong because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God." They were trying to test him in a way that went against the inspired revelation of God through the Word. And he was saying, "You're wrong even in your premise. You're wrong even in the way you approach life, because you don't know the Scriptures or the power of God as it's being revealed to you." So the Bible shapes us. And then the last thing, in verse 17, we learn that the Bible equips us, that the man of God, the person of God, the follower of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. You know, through God's Word, we don't have everything, but we have what we need to trust and follow Jesus. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire." In other words, God hasn't given us everything, but He's given us what we need for life and godliness. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. So God has given us what we need. Now, are there questions to which the Bible doesn't give us answers? Absolutely. For example, the Bible doesn't tell us that we ought to brush our teeth, but God has given us brains to figure that out. And He instructs us by His Spirit. So God hasn't given us everything, and there are secret things that are His that He will reveal when He chooses to reveal them, if He chooses to reveal them. But the revealed things are given to us to give us everything we need for life and godliness. And to close, I want to remind us of what is written in the Proverbs, in Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." You know, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that fools despise learning and instruction. And when we rightly understand who God is, and we revere Him, and we worship Him, and we stand in awe of Him, we want to know, God, how would You guide us? How would You lead us? What decisions would You have us make? Well, He's told us in His Word. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness, so that we may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible shapes us, in some ways encouraging us and in other ways admonishing us. And the Bible equips us to carry out the calling to which we've been called. And again, in our immediate context, in the aftermath of the storms that have hit our region, we have seen so many miracles as God's people have just been God's people, as God's people have carried out the faith once for all delivered to the saints in a way that glorifies God and blesses every human being around us. That's what we're called to do. Well, where did we learn that we were called to do that? Right here in the Word of God. And so we'll continue on, because all Scripture is breathed out by God and is useful, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that we, as we trust and follow Jesus, might be complete, equipped for every good work. Let's pray together. Father, we love You, and we thank You so much for Your Word. And Lord, of course there are things in Your Word with which our flesh disagrees. You're giving us Your standard. You are our infinite God. You sovereignly rule over all things, and You call us to Yourself. And so Your Word points out sin in us, and we're thankful for that, even though it's painful at the time, because, Lord, You call us through Your Word and by Your Spirit to repent, that we might walk with You. And so, Lord, we pray that we would always be the kind of people who would allow the Bible to offend us and redirect us, that by Your Spirit You would guide us in the way in which You would have us to go. For we know in so doing, we will find the path of life and we will be the greatest possible blessing we can be to all those around us. And so, Lord, we do. We continue to pray for healing in our region, and we continue to pray that through Your Word that we would find encouragement in hope to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to show the world there is a God in the heavens who deeply loves them and desires to be in relationship with them. And Lord, before we close our time together tonight, once again we join together our hearts and our minds and our voices to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us. This is the week of Christmas, and we want to invite you to our Christmas Eve service on Friday night, December the 24th at 5 p.m. right here at the corner of 12th and Chestnut. We will also live stream that service, and then you can also join us for a Christmas Eve broadcast at 6 p.m. on WBKO Fox or by way of our live stream. And I promise you, you will be blessed by either experience. And then come worship with us on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. as we look to our Lord. God bless you.